One of Rashi's comments in this week's Parsha highlights the rabbinic tradition of interpreting a feature of Hebrew script known as otiot chaserot v'yeterot, missing and extra letters. The Hebrew alphabet has no vowel letters, and in most Hebrew writing, the vowel notations, the nikudot, are not included. We know how to pronounce words based on context and tradition, but certain vowels are sometimes carried by a silent letter, either a vav or a yud. In writing words with those vowels, common practice dictates whether they're written with the silent letter or not. When the writing deviates from common practice, we get the phenomenon of missing and extra letters, known in Latin as defective and plein scriptum. For our rabbis, who presumed every letter in sacred scripture to have been carefully and intentionally selected, an extra or missing letter was understood to be an encoded message waiting to be deciphered. One of those extra letters appears just after the section of Parshat Bechukotai infamously known as the Tochacha, or the rebuke, a long and terrible list of curses, a cavalcade of miseries, mostly the consequences of exile from the land of Israel, are described in detail and presented as a severe warning of what will happen if the people do not follow God's law. Then there is a bit of relief. The Tochacha is immediately followed by several verses of consolation. Even if these horrors come to be, the Torah promises, God will eventually remember the covenant and return the people to their land. V'zacharti et briti Yaakov. Then I will remember my covenant with Yaakov, and even my covenant with Yitzchak, and even my covenant with Avraham I will remember, and I will remember the land. The extra letter in this verse appears in the word for the name Yaakov. It is generally written without the letter Vav between the Kuf and the Vet. For a sense of this in English, imagine if it were acceptable, even standard, to write Jacob without the O. But in our verse, the phrase my covenant with Yaakov has the unusual fuller spelling of Yaakov, with the Vav. So Rashi wants to know why, and this is what he says. B'chamisha mekomot nichtav male. In five places, Yaakov's name is written with the full spelling. And in five places, the name of Eliyahu is written with that same letter missing. Because Yaakov took a letter from Eliyahu's name as a pledge to ensure that Eliyahu would come and announce the redemption of Yaakov's children. In his typical fashion, Rashi manages to deliver a treasury of information in just 19 words. So let's take it one step at a time. First, someone managed to figure out that throughout the entire Tanakh, Yaakov's name is written with this extra vav a total of five times, and that the prophet Eliyahu, who will appear later in the Book of Kings, has his name written without a vav five times. In Eliyahu's case, it's not an example of a chaser, a missing silent letter. Rather, we almost always spell Eliyahu's name with a vav and pronounce it Eliyahu, but in five cases, his name is written without the vav and pronounced Eliyah. So, five extra vavs in Yaakov's name and five missing vavs from Eliyahu's. Rashi finds this remarkable parallel in a work of Midrash fittingly called Midrash Chaserot V'Yeterot, the Midrash of Missing and Extra Letters. But then Rashi adds a detail that does not appear in the original Midrash. Because in Rashi's description, Yaakov somehow reached across the Bible and took the extra letter from Eliyahu's name, and is now holding it as a kind of promissory pledge, an eravon. This idea that Yaakov holds Eliyahu responsible for the continuing exile is playing on the tradition that Eliyahu is the prophet who never died, and he will one day return to announce the coming of the Redeemer and the return of the children of Israel to their land. In fact, that tradition is built on two verses at the end of the book of Malachi, the last lines in the book of the prophets, in fact. Hine anochi sholeach lechem et Eliyah hanavi. Behold, I am sending you the prophet Eliyah to you before the coming of that great and awesome day of the Eternal. Veheshiv lev avot al banim velev banim al avotam. And he will return the heart of the fathers to their children and the heart of the children to their father. And there in that first verse, Eliyahu's name is spelled without the letter Vav. So, we have the covenant of Yaakov mentioned, here in our Parsha, referring to the eventual redemption, where we find the name Yaakov with an extra letter. That eventual redemption, in a later book of the Bible, is associated with Eliyahu, where we find Eliyahu's name missing a letter. So, it's as if Yaakov here took it from Eliyahu there. Moreover, that redemption that Eliyahu is supposed to bring about, says the verse in Malachi, is somehow going to return fathers and children to one another. So it's fitting that Yaakov, the father, is asking Eliyahu to fulfill his mission and return Israel, the children. And until this happens, Yaakov is keeping the extra letter. There's an acrobatic artistry to the interpretive method in this story of stolen letters and characters speaking to one another across time. But what does it all mean? For those kinds of answers, we can turn to the many commentaries that are written on top of Rashi's commentary, often called super commentaries. My favorite of them is the Gur Aryeh, written by Rev Yehuda Lowy, the Maharal of Prague, and he provides an explanation of the symbolism of the missing letter. V'tam ha-midrash hazeh, the meaning of this midrash, he says, is to hint to you that Eliyah was only created in order to redeem Israel. For that purpose he waits. And since he waits for this, and it has still not happened, therefore a letter has been taken from Eliyahu's name as a pledge to Yaakov, as if to say Eliyah's name is not complete, for his whole essence waits for the redemption of Israel, the children of Yaakov. In other words, says the Maharal, Eliyahu does not have his full name because he is not yet fully being who he is supposed to be in the world. Only when he fulfills his role as the herald of the Redeemer will he truly be Eliyahu. Until then, his name in the world is diminished. This framework tracks with the Maharal's repeated belief that Hashem hu moreh al etzem hadavar, the name of something teaches about the essence of that thing. To be given a name, then, is to be given an essence and a purpose. Then one must earn that name by living up to one's purpose. So this is quite a bold claim that the Maharal is making. That as long as we are in exile, the prophet Eliyahu is not yet living up to his potential, his essential nature. Yet an even bolder explanation is given by the Maharal's own brother, Rav Chaim Lowy, who also wrote a super commentary on Rashi called the Be'er Mayim Chaim. In his understanding of the symbolism of these names, it's not just Eliyahu, but God whose name is incomplete. Kavanat mamar zeh nireli, it seems to me that the point of Rashi's explanation is that the letter is actually missing from God's name all the time that Israel is in exile. And this holy prophet, the herald of the redemption, is named with the name of God, for Eliyahu means, my God is God. So it is fitting that the Vav should drop from his name. Now, linguistically, this is true. Both parts of the name Eliyahu, Eli and Yah, are borrowed from different names for God. So if you take a letter away from Eliyahu's name, you are inevitably also taking a letter out of the name of God. But if we read that fact in light of the Maharal's theory of names and essences, then something much bigger happens. It's not just that God is missing a particular letter while we're in exile, but that God is somehow fundamentally incomplete. God's essence is diminished so long as we suffer here in the world. God cannot be fully named because God has yet to fulfill God's purpose in the world. For it is God who is our true Redeemer. Eliyahu's job is just to announce that the time has come, but God is the one who's supposed to bring us back home and to restore the hearts of parents and children. Until God does so, Yaakov will not give God back the letter. He will not fully call out in the name of the Eternal One until God remembers the covenant, the pledge God made to Yaakov, and fulfills it. Bayom ha'hu yeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. And on that day, God will be one, and God's name will be one.